Where it is. The mountains of the valley's parallel framing ranges aren't high. Even the grandmother, Amakulkan, the old volcano at which the ranges meet in a tangled knot, isn't much over 4,000 feet. The valley floor is a flat river plain, but the hills come up steep-sided from it, and the ranges are rugged, deep-cut with creek canyons. On slopes that face the east and are sheltered from the sea wind, trees and shrubs grow thick. Digger pine, fir, redwood, madrone, and manzanita. Scrub and live and tan and white and black oak, and the great valley oak, buckeye, bay laurel, willow and ash, and alder. Where it's drier, the chaparral, a low, dense scrub of buckbrush or wild lilac that flowers sweet blue and violet as the rains end, and white-flowering chamise and chaparral pea, deerwood, toyon, coffeeberry, coyote bush, and always the scrub oak, and always the poison oak. Along the creeks grows sweet shrub and ocean spray and yellow azalea, and the wild rose and the wild vine of California. On the west-facing, windy hillsides and the round hills of the Serpentine, only the wild grasses and the wild flowers. It was always an austere land, generous but not lush, not soft, not gentle. It always had two seasons, one wet, one dry. The rains and the heat can be fierce, frightening. Growing things go through their sweet, slow, steady order of flowering, ripening, resting, as they do anywhere, but the turn from one season to the other is less transition than reversal. A few dark gray pouring days when the burnt and sodden brown hills brighten suddenly into the aching, piercing green of the new grass. A few cloud-flurried shining days when the orange poppies, the blue lupin, the vetch, clover, wild lilac, brodiaea, blue-eyed grass, daisies, lilies are all in bloom, whole hillsides white and purple and blue and gold, but at the same moment the grass is drying, turning pale, and the wild oats have already sown their seed. Those are the times of change, the greening into winter, the dying into summer. The fog comes in. It comes up from the vast flat mudlands, the sea marshes and reed beds, the estuaries and endless tules southeastward, the sea beaches over the southwest range. Around Tsinshan Mountain and Shiwatches and Spring Mountain, hard, dark, depthless silhouettes on the dry sky, the fog comes moistening and blurring and rubbing things out. The mountains all go quietly away. Under a low roof, the hills are dim. Every leaf beads and drips. The little brown birds of the chaparral flit uncertainly and say, tsp, tk, somewhere nearby, but never seen. A valley oak looms huge. You can't see where its arms are reaching to. If you went up from Wakwaha on such a morning, you'd come out of the fog somewhere on the road, come right through that roof, and turning, look back on a white fog sea breaking in brilliant silence on the hills. It has done that for a long time. They are old hills, but fog is older. The dirt of the valley is black or brown adobe clay, or the red dirt that blue-green serpentine rock breaks down into, with streaks of volcanic ash. Not a rich, open-minded, amenable soil, but poor, opinionated, cranky dirt. It spits wheat out. What it has to say to the farmer is grapevine, olive, rose, lemon, plum. Tough stuff, sweet-smelling, strong-tasting, long-lived. And corn, beans, squashes, melons, potatoes, carrots, greens, what have you, whatever you want if you work hard enough, and dig when it's like wet cement and water when it's like dry cement. A difficult dirt. In our day, the river of the valley barely trickles through a drought year, when by September all but the biggest creeks are dry, but the Na will have been a bigger, though a shorter, stream. When the Great Valley as a whole subsides, the rifting along the fault lines and probably some magma pockets under Amakulkan will have sent the valley's elevation up. The water table under it would also rise, and what with the hot summers of the Great Valley, much tempered by the inland sea and the vast marshlands, and the sea fogs flowing over the sea currents through a far broader gate, the climate will have been modified. The dry season, not so intensely dry, the creeks fuller, the river statelier, more considerable, more worshipful, but still less than 30 miles from spring to sea. 30 miles can be a short or a long way. It depends on the way you go them, what the Kesh called wakwaha. With ceremony, with forms of politeness and reassurance, they borrowed the waters of the river and its little confluence to drink and be clean and irrigate with, using water mindfully, carefully. They lived in a land that answers greed with drought and death, a difficult land, aloof yet sensitive, like the deer who live there, who will steal your food and be your food, skinny little deer, thief and prey, neighbor and watcher and watched, curious, unfrightened, untrusting, and untamable, never anything but wild. The roots and springs of the valley were always wild. The patterns of the grape stakes and the pruned vines, the rows of gray olive trees and the formal splendor of flowering almond orchards, the sharp-footed sheep and the dark-eyed cattle, the wineries of stone, the old barns, the mills down by the water, the little shady towns. These are beautiful, humane, endearing, but the roots of the valley are the roots of the digger pine, the scrub oak, the wild grasses, careless and uncared for, and the springs of those creeks rise among the rifts of earthquake, among rocks from the floors of seas that were before there were human beings, and from the fires inside the earth. The roots of the valley are in wildness, in dreaming, in dying, in eternity. The deer trails there, the footpaths and the wagon tracks, they pick their way around the roots of things. They don't go straight. It can take a lifetime to go 30 miles and come back.